this year, well, it's been a couple years since I put any lights up around the house, outside and all that. And Jennifer wanted to do that, but you know, the last time I got out the Christmas light box, there's an amazing thing that happens when you take the Christmas lights down and you roll them up nice and neat and you stick them in their boxes. Something happens in the attic. When you go to open up that box, it looks like somebody has gone in there and mixed everything up, pulled, you know, the cords through one circle of another and then around, and they're all tangled up. And the other thing is, when you took them down, they were all working. And when you plug them in, they're burned out. At least one bulb, so you have to go pick every bulb out till you find the one. Why is it that that happens to the Christmas lights? You ever have that happen to you? You go to put it up, you know, I find it just, it's almost less frustrating. It's cheaper because I don't need therapy. To just, when I'm done with Christmas lights, just throw them away and next year buy more, because when you pull them out of the box, they're supposed to work. But if you get inexpensive lights, they don't last very long either. So, but you rush around and you get ready for people to come for Christmas, for any holiday, really. It's hectic. How many of you are done with your Christmas shopping? How many have you not started yet? Okay, those of you who have not started yet, you're not alone. Studies, they've done a survey, 60 million people still have not started their Christmas shopping, so you're not alone. There'll be 60 million of you Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and maybe Wednesday. By Wednesday, you might just have to go to Walgreens to pick up something, a gift card or something. But 46 million people haven't finished their shopping yet, so there's going to be 106 million of you out shopping in the next couple of days, rushing around, getting ready for that great, wonderful, family-oriented holiday. Aren't you glad you can just get so stressed out for this time when we should really be focused on something different? I'm glad the girls came home. They wrapped two presents for me, Carrie did, so I didn't have to do that. I just had to bring it home, so that was good. We rush and we rush to get everything just right. But have you ever stopped to think about what God went through in order to make Jesus' birth happen? Now, I don't know if there's anybody here this morning that's going to be totally bummed out by what I'm about ready to say, but this season that we have right now really probably is not when Jesus was born. Okay? Right, Carl? December 25th is not the birthday of Jesus. And there's a reason why I believe God has concealed the exact date. Because look at what we've done with the date that we do celebrate the birth of Jesus. You go down any place and you'll see these signs that say Xmas sales. We've taken the Christ out of Christmas. So imagine what would happen if we actually knew the day. But there's a couple of schools of thought, and I lean towards more the one that he was born in the springtime. The shepherds were out on the hillsides. But regardless of that, this is a time of year. You know, there's two times a year that people who aren't church people go to church. They come to church at Christmas time, and they come to church at Easter time. We need to take the opportunity to share with them the love of God during that time, because that's the only time they come to church. So we take advantage of the fact that people do come to church during this time. We can talk about Jesus' birth any time of the year because it's important to us that he actually came. God said he would come. When the angel came, if you look in Luke, the book of Luke, it talks about God with us, Emmanuel. You know, when you go back to the book of Genesis and you look at creation, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And he created male and female, and he came and he talked and he walked with Adam and Eve on a daily basis. He created us to be in his presence. Sin separated us from that, And from that point until when Jesus came, there was a separation between God and man. And Jesus coming and being born brought God back with us. That's good news, isn't it? Now, there was many things that had to take place in order for Jesus to be born on time in the right place. If you go back to the book of Daniel, and I'm not going to give you a Daniel lesson today, but if you go back to the book of Daniel, there was a prophecy that said when the Messiah would come. If people were looking for it, they knew exactly when the Messiah was to come. In a certain week, after the going forth of a decree to rebuild Jerusalem, when they were back in captivity, the Messiah would come. Now, there were people studying the scriptures. They had the prophets, they had the books of Moses, and they were studying them. And I like to think that the wise men were studying these scrolls, and they discovered that something special was going to happen. Now, you know, I have a GPS in my car. Now, what does that stand for? Anybody know what GPS stands for? Global Positioning Satellites, right? And they can get you with just a few feet of where you need to go. But you know, God had his own, well, he had the original GPS. Now, what do you think GPS stands for when it comes from God? God's positioning star. Those wise men came from the east and they followed his star. You read it. They had a GPS, God's, you know, positioning star. And they just followed that star wherever it went, and it got them to where the Messiah was. Now, if those wise men from the east could find Jesus, there's others that were looking too. Herod, he wanted to be the Messiah to the people of Israel. He had been studying the prophecies too, and he knew that a Messiah was to come. And when these wise men showed up, they said, "Where's this king that was born?" Well, that was news to him. "Tell me where he is when you find him, that I may go and worship him," right? No, he wanted to kill him. There was a tax. Read it in in Luke. There was a tax or an accounting or a census. Mary and Joseph had to go from where they lived to where his family came from, and that was in Bethlehem, and that's where the Messiah was to come from. Now, think about the travel preparations. They couldn't just throw a few things in the car and drive down the road a little ways. Bethlehem was not really that far away, was it? But by donkey, it took a while. They were going to be gone several weeks, maybe. They had to take provisions. Now, when you read the story, did you ever wonder if Mary asked Joseph if he had called ahead and made reservations in the motel? Apparently he forgot that little detail. He got the donkey ready, you know, changed the shoes on the donkey, you know, washed it, brushed it, got it ready to go, loaded it up. Now, by this time, Mary's pretty well along in her pregnancy. Ladies, how would you like to take a long trip when you're 8.5 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant, on the back of a donkey? A lot of fun. The last minute preparations, the hurriedness and getting ready to go, I can just imagine what that was like. Probably like getting out the Christmas lights from the attic and putting them up, and last minute shopping and getting everything ready for people to come, or for you to go to visit family. But what was God doing during that time? Do you think he was rushing around? Or did God have everything under control? The Bible says that God is a God of order. Turn to Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should register. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I remember a story about a Christmas play. And the school was putting on this play, and everybody had a part in it except this one person. And he wasn't the brightest child in school. But the teacher wanted to give him a part in the play, and so she decided that she would make him the innkeeper. You guys have heard this story, right? He had one line that he had to remember. There's no room. So the play goes on, and Mary and Joseph, they get and they go to the inn, and they knock on the door. The innkeeper comes. Do you have any rooms? There's a pause. There's no room. And the teacher goes, yes, he got it. And there was a little ad-libbing that went on. Joseph said, are you sure there's no rooms in the inn? No room. Shuts the door. Mary and Joseph go off stage or head off stage to go to another part of the play, and the door opens back up. And the boy comes out dressed as the innkeeper and says, wait! You can have my room. The teacher was upset. The play had been ruined. And yet everybody in the audience that day got the point. And they thought it was wonderful. The God of the universe comes right on time. And Joseph forgot to phone ahead, you know, to have Tom Baudet leave the light on for him. Came right on time. Now, the prophecies foretold that he would be born in a manger. Jesus didn't come as a king with pomp and circumstances. He came in a humble, poor home. But what he's given us, the gift that he's given us, is priceless. You think about all the money that we spend this time of year to let people know that we care about them. And yet, what do really people need from us to know that we care about them? They need us. They need time. This past week, and maybe, how many, I want to see the hands again. How many of you have not started shopping yet? Good, I got you in time. A couple weeks ago, I gave the kids at the school an assignment during chapel. I said, this is not going to take any money. Now, how many of you like this so far? Won't take any money. Yep, there you go. I said, I want you to think of the reason that this Christmas season is here. It shows us that God loved us enough to give us the gift of Jesus. I want you young people to do something for your parents that's, you know, make sure you've got 911 ready, because I want you to give something of yourself that doesn't take any money. It just takes some time from you. And what I suggested to the young people was, find something that you can do for your parents and write that down on a piece of paper, roll it up in a scroll and hang it on the tree, or stick it in a little box and wrap it up and put their name on it. So when mom and dad open up that gift Christmas morning, there it is. I will do dishes for a month without being asked. There's a mother who would appreciate that. See? or I will take out the trash. Or this was a good one. I said, how many of you young people have a hard time keeping your rooms clean? And every one of them raised their hand except two or three. I said, well, how about if you put on there, I will keep my room clean for the next month without having been asked. And they didn't like that choice. So those of you who have not started shopping yet for Christmas, here it is. Think of something you can give to somebody else that involves your time. Because you see, that's what God gave to us, was Himself. And that's the gift that continues to keep on giving. Because God didn't take back Himself. Next Sabbath, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story of Christmas. You know, the day after. Where all the presents have been opened up. There's something strange that happens the day after Christmas, and we're going to talk about that next Sabbath. But when God made man, He went through all the what-ifs, and one of those what-ifs is, what if He chooses not to serve and obey me? God was not surprised. God was not taken off guard. He had planned for the worst. And He said, I will come, and I will pay the penalty of that sin. That's the story of Christmas. God with us. No rush, no surprises. Came right on time. God was prepared. And the thing I like about that is that sometimes when I don't prepare in the right way, I get busy, I forget. I know that God has already prepared things for me. And I can trust that. I can rest in that. I can be glad with that. Larry, I was going to take a motorcycle ride. And I got Jennifer to commit to going with me on this trip. It was going to be a 3 or 4 day ride with some other church members. We planned it. We had a couple of hotels. We made the reservations, got our bikes loaded up, got on the bikes, and we headed out of town. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. We had planned ahead. Every step of the way was planned out, except for one thing. There was a wire running through the middle of my motorcycle that decided it wanted to do something different. And I'm between Apache Junction and Superior. You know, that great metropolitan area of desert out there. And all of a sudden, I realize I'm just coasting. It's really quiet on my bike, just the sound of the road and the tires. And if you know my bike, that's very rare because it has the loudest pipes on it I could find. You see, I bought into the idea, Larry, that loud pipes save lives. It got really quiet. And I had my tool kit, and I took things apart, and I found that burned fuse, and I put a new fuse in there, put everything back together, let's go, started it up, and as soon as it started, you could hear this pop, and it quit. No problem, I got another fuse. So I put another fuse in there, put it back together, started it up, pop. Something's wrong. I don't know if God didn't want me to go on that trip, or what. I'm gonna find out. If He's got a way to play, you know, a clip of a movie, had I made that trip, what would have happened? I just have to trust that that wasn't for me that time. Because eventually, that motorcycle got back to my garage on the back of a tow truck. And we didn't go. There are no surprises to God. I think Jennifer was praising God that we didn't have to make that trip. We're going to go up to Taos, New Mexico. It was kind of a long trip there and back, but there's no surprises when it comes to God. You know, if you look at the books of Daniel and Revelation, He tells us things that are coming. Any of you guys really worried about the financial markets? You know, my 401 has turned into a 104. But you know, what does the prophecy say? Is the world going to get better and better till Jesus comes? No, it shouldn't take us by surprise. that things are happening, because I believe we're getting closer and closer to that second coming of Jesus, and things are just going to get worse. God loved us enough first time to tell us he was coming. He loves us enough to tell us the second time he's coming. It's up to us to get on board with God and to follow him and to put our lives right with him. He gave us a gift, the greatest gift ever given. And that gift enables us to have peace in our life. Though the world go crazy, we don't have to. Though the financial markets drop through the floor and your 401 is not a 104 anymore, it's a minus 256. It doesn't matter. Because what has God said he'll do for those who love him? I will take care of you, he says. You know, that 401k is supposed to be my retirement. I say supposed to be because, like many of you, it doesn't look like I'm going to be retiring until I'm 96. But the retirement plan that we Christians have been given, which was sealed for us when Jesus came, lived his life and died on the cross and then rose again, that's when our retirement plan went into effect. Because what retirement plan am I depending upon? Spending eternity with God. Not here where there's trouble. God's going to make everything new again. Isn't it interesting that he started out, spoke the world into existence, and it was perfect? He came with his rescue plan, his bailout plan called Jesus, and it was perfect. And then he's going to have the going home rescue plan party for those who love him, and it will be perfect again. This Christmas, let's see, Sabbath, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 4 or 5 days, whenever you want to celebrate it, 5 days from now, I want you to think about the gift that God gave you. And if you're not in the habit of doing this, I want you to sit down and take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke, and I just want you to read through the first couple of chapters about what God did for us. And really get in your mind the reason for the season that we're celebrating. Then give your gifts to each other. It might put you in a whole different frame of mind of how you receive something. And why you give something. God so loved the world that he gave. I'm thankful for that. God so loved the world that he gave himself. Once again, for those of you who still need to do a little shopping, just shop in your mind and then give of yourself to somebody else. Write that down and say, I give you. You know, you might be able to say to some parents with young children in this congregation, I give you so many nights of free babysitting for you and your husband and your wife to go out and do something. I'll watch the kids. You might know somebody who has car troubles and you're a mechanic. I'll come over and see if I can fix it for you. Give of yourself, because in doing so, you reflect the very character of God who gave to us. And that's really what he wants to do to us Christians. That's what's going to tell the rest of the world that religion isn't just something people do for whatever reason. It changed your life. God has made you, through his Holy Spirit, just like himself. When we give of ourselves, when we love each other as he loves us, the world will know that he is alive and exists. I want to wish each one of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But more than that, I want to wish you a life with Jesus. That will be the gift that keeps on giving for all of eternity. Let's pray.